Today on Hardwired.
He covers the whole gamut of life in the three deliverances he talks about: past tense, present tense, future tense. He has delivered me back there. He is delivering me in my now. And I know he shall deliver me in my future. He's a delivering God.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I preach the gospel not just because Christ saves for eternity, but also because the Lord delivers us in the here and now. He delivers us from the things that are destroying us, wreaking havoc in our lives, and really keeping us from being everything God has called us to be. In today's message, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul and his amazing testimony of how God delivered him from a trial so bad he thought it was the end of his life. Maybe you feel that way today. Well, if that's you, stay tuned. We're going to look at Paul saying, not only did he deliver me in the past, but he's going to deliver me now, and he's going to deliver me in the future. So grab your pen and your Bible and join me for the message, The God Who Delivers.
How many of you can say, for sure, there is something in my past from which God delivered me? Amen? How many of you can amen this? God is a delivering God. He delivers. Amen? He does deliver. How many of you can say, I was in something that never would I have gotten myself out of it if God had not delivered me? Amen? Now, a part of what Jesus' ministry was and is and always will be was to deliver you and me, to set us free. He said, you're going to know the truth, and it's going to set you free. And he whom the Son frees is indeed free. Well, free from what? Things from which he delivered you. Amen? He's a delivering God. So I'm just calling this message today, the God who delivers. And I want you to know, we don't preach a religious Jesus. We don't preach religion. We don't just do religious ritual. We're not up here to be religious. Matter of fact, I would never step in the pulpit again if God were not a truly delivering God. Because part of the message of the gospel is that God supernaturally delivers us from supernatural bondage. He sets us free. So I want to read to you a testimony from Paul the Apostle. So thankful he was honest with us about the things he went through. And I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you want to grab your Bibles or look at your iPhone or wherever, however you read the Bible these days, look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. And I'm going to start there. I'm going to read three verses. Paul being real honest with us about a great deliverance that he experienced. All right, here it is. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, we thought we were going to die. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Sometimes God lets you go through things so that you don't trust in yourself any longer, but you look up and you say, only God can get me out of this, then he gets you out of it. All right? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, verse 10, I want you to read out loud with me because he's going to give us three tenses of deliverance here. Three types of deliverance, past, present, and future. So watch this carefully. Read it with me. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death. I heard five of you or so. Y'all got lockjaw today? Come on. Are you ready? Let's read it. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust, he will still deliver us. Whole lot of delivering going on in that verse. All right? Whole lot of delivering going on in that verse. So notice this now. Notice this. He says, he has, he is, he shall. He has, say this with me, he has delivered me. He is delivering me, and he shall deliver me. Well, he got you covered there. You're covered, amen? Now, we don't know exactly what it was that Paul went through. There's no telling. It was probably some kind of persecution. Here's what commentators surmise. Different commentators think that it was persecution he was going through. Some think it was some disease they got, and it almost took them out. But there's no way of knowing because Paul doesn't say. We only know this. It was bad. It was really rough. It was so bad that Paul said, we felt like we were under a death sentence. Now, I don't know if you've ever been through something that tough where here's what you were thinking. Am I going to come out of this alive? Am I going to survive this intact? Or is this going to take me out? Am I down for the count? Am I ever going to come back? Have you ever gone through anything like that? Am I down for the count? Am I ever going to come back? That's what they were wondering. It was like a sentence of death. So that when God delivered them, Paul considered it equivalent to being raised from the dead. He said, wow, it was just like we were raised from the dead. It was so bad that when God delivered us, it was like he raised us from the dead. Wow. Yeah. Now again, he covers the whole gamut of life in the three deliverances he talks about: past tense, present tense, future tense. He has delivered me back there. He is delivering me in my now. And I know he shall deliver me in my future. He's a delivering God. He's a delivering God. Now, words matter, and I tell you that all the time, but you know the Bible was not written in King James English. You do know that, right? Jesus did not say, if thou wouldest, thou couldest, and that's not the way he talked. He talked in Greek or Aramaic. Now, so the words that we translated into deliver, for instance, what did the original Greek word mean? Well, it really matters because it's very important we understand what this word meant when it was coming out of Paul's mouth. It means to remove somebody from the presence of danger and bring them into something else. I am brought out to be brought in. I'm delivered from to be delivered to. Are you with me? That's the meaning of the word deliver. So he says, he delivered me back there from so great a death. He's delivering me now, and he's going to deliver me in the future. What he's talking about is when God delivers, when Jesus Christ delivers us from something, he takes us out to bring us unto himself. All right? Now, let me give you an illustration. When a fireman, when a building's on fire, okay, we've all seen the movies, and somebody is hanging out of a window crying for help, and they put that long ladder up there, and the fireman walks up the ladder, grabs the person, rescues them, brings them down to the ground, and sets them free, rescues them, delivers them from perishing. Now, we know that when the fireman gets them down to safety, he does not then take them home with him, does he? If he does, we want that man's name. We need to check him out. But no, that's not what a fireman does. When a fireman rescues, once you're rescued, his job is done. So his deliverance is that way, his kind of deliverance. But that's not God's kind of deliverance. God's kind of deliverance is when he rescues you out of the burning building of sin and the certain destruction of hell, he not only takes you out, but he brings you unto himself. He takes you out to bring you in. He doesn't take you out and say, okay, now I've delivered you from sin and its consequences. Go have a great life. It's been real. Is that what God does? Oh, no, no, no. What God does, he said, I've delivered you, I saved you, so that you can be with me, fellowship with me, come to know me, and so that you and me can be together forever. I brought you out to bring you unto myself. That's what it means. That's what it means. All right? So this is really, really important that we understand this and grasp this, because I love God's way of delivering. It's like when I rescue a dog. I rescue, every dog I have has been rescued. And when I rescue one, I rescue them from the pound that will certainly put them down if they're not adopted. So I like saving dogs, like, I'm a dog lover, you know I am. But here's the deal. When I go in there and I put the money down to let that dog go free, to purchase that dog, to get it out of the cage and out of certain destruction, I don't then take the dog outside and set him on the ground and say, run for it, have a great life. I'm so glad to have been able to set you free. No, I say, I brought you out that I could bring you unto myself. And I'm going to take you to my home. And you and me are going to be together till you go to dog heaven. All right? And that's the way Jesus does you and me. Listen to this. Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us. Everybody say, he rescued me. All right? He did. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Oh, what a terrible kingdom that is. And transferred us into. Now notice, he took us from that he might bring us into. He took us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Jesus slapped down the only currency that would be effective and effectual at the bar of God to set us free, the currency of his blood. He shed his blood. And when he set us free, he did it to get us out of one kingdom and to bring us into another. To get us out from one master and to bring us under a good master. He brought us out that he might bring us in. He took us from that he might bring us unto. How many of you are so glad that once Jesus saved you, he didn't say, well, have a great life, go on. It's been great saving you. How many of you are glad that no, he poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. And when he poured his love into our hearts, we entered into an eternal relationship with God the Father. He brought us out to bring us into his outstretched arms. Amen? Yeah. So our text today, where Paul is describing, he did it then, he's doing it now, and he'll do it in the future. He is showing us that the life of the child of God is bookended with deliverances and then deliverance in between the bookends.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
He saved me and delivered me. He's coming back one day and delivering me. And while I'm on this earth, he delivers me. How many of you can say that since I was saved, he's delivered you from a few things still? Amen? Oh, yeah. So it begins with salvation and it ends with him taking us off this planet. And in between, we experience deliverances that I'm going to talk to you about more in just a moment. All throughout our life, he is a deliverer. He's not just my healer, my provider, my peace giver, my wisdom, my strength, but he's my deliverer. He's my deliverer. Amen. So say with me, he has delivered me. He is delivering me. And he shall deliver me. Oh, that's good stuff. So I want to just take those three tenses and let me just deal with them one at a time real quickly because I want us to really get this because we're a delivered people. We are a delivered people. Amen? God delivers. All right? So the first one is he has. He has delivered me. He has delivered me. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he came on a rescue mission. The human race was in a 911 situation. It was an emergency call to heaven. We're perishing in our sin. We're dying in our sin. We're going to an eternal hell because of sin. And if somebody doesn't come rescue us and save us and deliver us, we can't deliver ourselves. And so the Bible says, Jesus flat out, straight up told us this. He said this, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Another version puts it this way, the Son of Man came to find lost people and save them. Isn't that simple? The Son of Man came to find lost people. We go out in the morning after we got saved and we say, wow, yesterday I found the Lord. No, you didn't. The Lord found you. He was homed in on you for a long time. You just didn't even know it. He was tracking you in a good way. He was stalking you. He was dealing with you. He was setting up the moment you would get saved. And when you got saved, you didn't find him. He found you. You just thought you found him, but he found you. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Amen. But now listen to the words of Jesus carefully. The Son of Man came to find lost. Everybody say lost. Lost people. Now the Bible says the whole human race is lost. The whole human race is lost. Now lost like I would lose a pair of keys, a set of keys. Lost like I would lose my wallet. No, that's not what the word lost means in the language in which it was spoken. Matter of fact, lost is a really tough word in the language in which it was spoken, in the language Jesus spoke it in. You know what lost means when it came out of his mouth? It means to violently, completely perish, to be permanently destroyed, to die with the implication of ruin and destruction, to utterly perish by experiencing a miserable end. Not like a lost set of keys. It means headed for total destruction and ending up in an eternal, miserable end. That's lost. And Jesus said, I came to seek and find you before you end up there. I came to seek you and find you to deliver you from your lostness because you're lost. Now, you may not feel lost. That doesn't matter what you feel. You're lost. If you don't know you're lost and you don't know Jesus, I'm talking about people that don't know Jesus. If you say, well, I don't know Jesus, I'm not a Christian, but I'm not lost, you're so blind, you don't even know you're lost. The Bible says, you say you are miserable, or you say you are rich and have need of nothing. But I say to you, Jesus says these words, you say I'm rich and have need of nothing, but I say to you, you are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Lost. Lost. And somebody had to rescue us from our lostness because we couldn't deliver ourselves from our lostness because lost people can't deliver themselves from their lostness, especially this kind. This is eternal lostness, forevermore lostness. You're lost, lost. I've never been able to get the story I'm going to share with you right now out of my head once I read it, true story. But here it is. There once was a man who worked in a small town as the operator of a drawbridge on a river. A train track ran across the bridge, and the man's job was to keep the bridge up when no train was coming so the boats could go underneath. And then his job when the train was coming was to lower the bridge so the train could safely cross the bridge to the other side. That was his job, simple. One sunny Saturday morning, the man brought his 7-year-old son along with him to work with him. Daddy, daddy, can I come with you? And the boy would play along the river, skip rocks on the water, chase butterflies, do what little boys do. And shortly before noon, right on time, a passenger train was due to come through. And the man was supposed to lower the bridge so the train could go across safely. The man began to make preparations to let the bridge down. And as he examined the bridge, as he looked at the bridge, he noticed that somebody, a small child, had somehow climbed over the guardrail next to the bridge and was playing at the very spot where the bridge would come down. As he looked closer, he realized with horror The child was his own son. In desperation, he began to cry out his name. But the sound of the approaching train drowned out his voice. He cried louder, screamed. The boy couldn't hear him. He knew he was going to have to make a quick decision. The train was coming up quickly on the bridge. If he lowered the bridge at this point, he knew his son would die. But if he didn't, all the people on the train would die as the train plunged into the river, everybody on it perishing. He had no time to think. As he screamed in agony, the man thrust forward the lever to lower the bridge just as the train arrived. Bridge came down. His son died instantly. As the train passed by, catch this, the people just smiled and waved as they passed by the man in the control booth with his head bowed low, oblivious to what had just taken place. They didn't know that that man had just sacrificed his son so they could live. Now listen, God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, not to be killed by a drawbridge, but to be abused by men, tortured by men, hung on a cross, beaten beyond recognition. You know all that Jesus went through. I've been saved most of my life, and I still can't read the story of his crucifixion without it hurting me. It still hurts me when I read it. And I wince, and I have to stop and say, thank you, Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross, listen to me, God lowered the drawbridge. How much did he love you? He so loved you. He gave his only begotten son. If this man could give his son to save a trainload of people, what about God giving his son to save the entire human race, everybody and anybody that calls upon his name? Because whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And when Jesus died on that cross and spilled his blood, you know what he was doing? He was giving the only thing that could deliver you and I from the consequences of sin and the condemnation that would have sent us to hell. He shed his blood so that he could deliver us back there. Everybody say, he has delivered me. Can we just thank the Lord that he loved us enough to give his only son? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. So not only has he delivered me, but he is delivering me. Now listen to what he says, who delivered us in the past from so great a death and does now, in our now, today, deliver us. He's a deliverer back then. He's a deliverer now. Amen. Now, how does the Lord rescue and deliver us now? I'm going to give you two simple ways. There's others, but these are the two key ones. He rescues us, first of all, from Satan's attacks. He delivers us from Satan's attacks. I think sometimes we forget that we've got an enemy, that if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you're a born-again child of God, we've got an enemy that hates us because we're washed in the blood that undid him, that destroyed Satan, destroyed his works, took away from him death, hell, and the grave. And so we're targeted people. Matter of fact, we've got to get in our minds that when we got saved, we were drafted into a battle, the battle between good and evil. His battle became my battle, your battle. What was his battle? The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So we were drafted into that battle between God and Satan, good and evil, light and dark, wrong and right. We were drafted. We're in the army now. Amen? We're in the army now. We've been drafted. You say, well, I don't want to be drafted. Well, tough. If you're saved, you're drafted. And you can't go AWOL. If you go AWOL, he'll come find you. No, we're drafted into the army, and we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we clearly are in a battle, and I've got good news. He rescued me and delivered me back then, and he delivers me now from the attacks of Satan. He delivers me now.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.